from wherever you're listening to us tonight, because I know a lot of you are getting dumped on Snow White, that is, and some of the other fierce elements out there, but particularly the Midwest, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, you're getting blasted with the white stuff. In fact, they're saying in some parts could get up to a foot or more, which means headaches for commuters at those early morning hours. Isn't it great if you're on the third shift? Because guess what? You don't have to deal with that. You're crawling into bed, getting up later in the day. Everybody else has to deal with the 9 to 5 and the traffic on both ends of that. It's been a while. I used to do a morning show, and I'd come out, and I was shocked at what it was like to be stuck in traffic, because most of my life I haven't had to deal with traffic. So feel sorry for those people that have to deal with the snow on the other end of it, even though you're getting slammed with it now. Shocking stuff. An air security document was posted on the net. They say in error. It's a massive mistake. It's a TSA on who you're stopping and what to look for and some of the security procedures. So that'll be nice when would-be wink, wink, terrorists get their hands on the stuff, because you could download it, and it's on now on other websites, easy to download for certain. And by the way, they say no profiling. It seems to me when they're talking about to really scrutinize passports from Afghanistan and Cuba and Iran and then a slew of other places, that, yeah, if they're saying extra scrutiny must be paid, extra attention, that's kind of profiling. So remember, we got massive blowback on the suggestion that, okay, if we're having certain type of people do the same things over and over again, young men who are Islamic that fit certain descriptions, who have been doing various or attempting to do various terrorist activities, so you wouldn't scrutinize a little bit more, maybe look twice when you're getting a one-way flight, and that was so horrendous to even utter those things. And yet in the TSA guidelines, they pretty much say that. They don't say profile, but special attention has to be paid to certain people. It gets worse and worse for Tiger Woods, I swear. His mother-in-law goes to the hospital earlier in the day. We'll talk about that, apparently. I don't know if it was a panic attack, stomach aches, whatever, but she flew in from Sweden because of what's going on with her daughter and her son-in-law, which just means every single day another woman comes out to say she had some kind of an affair with Tiger, had sex with him in a car, met him at a wedding, and went into a broom closet. I mean, it's crazy, the stories that are coming out. And this is no story. It's not a fairy tale, but the Senate, it looks like they're really trying to get closer to health care, because they reached a massive compromise. And you might be surprised at some of the stuff on this. And the Senate talked about the abortion issue, but skated over it with a vote. And the vote was 54-45. Five on the Senate floor earlier in the day. So they killed the anti-abortion measure and also killed the public option. As a result, it looks like they've got a compromise where they may have enough votes. And the top general on the ground in Afghanistan says, you know what? The thing that we need to do is to capture bin Laden. If we do that, we kill al-Qaeda, because he is iconic. He is a rock star. So it's been 8 years and counting, and it hasn't happened so far. We keep hearing that bin Laden is on the Afghanistan-Pakistan border. Anybody out there think in our lifetime that he will be captured and tried? I'm thinking I wish it would happen, but I'm not holding my breath. 800-259-5791, waiting for us across the border, Slammin' Sammy in Montreal. Let's go to him. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, our chief of defense staff, General Walter Kononchuk, went in front of a parliamentary commission today. He's saying, okay, 2011, we're out of here, no questions asked, no ifs, ands, or buts. But one of the people in the committee said, but aren't people going to stay around to help with rebuilding Afghanistan or help train the Afghan soldiers. His comeback was, excuse me, with all due respect, sir, it was the Prime Minister who said 2011, I forgot what the date was, we're out of here, no questions asked. And then he said, but sir, it was the Prime Minister who did it. Okay, sir? So, you know, I thought those two were going to come to blows. You know, so.
Wow, how about that? So, yeah, it goes along with that same self-imposed deadline.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, it's like, do I believe Prime Minister Harper or don't I? It's like, I'll believe, with all due respect, I will believe it when I see it. But, and some good news happened today in Montreal. The Arthur Flame is in Montreal today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, and tomorrow it's going to be at what we call the Big Mistake. I mean, the Olympic Stadium. Yeah, I know. If you know the whole story about the 76 Olympics, how
right.
The cost overrun. I mean, Jean Drapeau, may he rest in hell. No, he did do some good things for Montreal. He did put Montreal on the map. He said there'd be as much as an Olympic deficit as a man could have an abortion. So there was a cartoon of him naked with the Olympic logo around his private area.
Wow.
Going, hello, abortion clinic?
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Slam back.
Now we're starting getting excited because they're already talking about, you know, security. And after what I just heard about that security profile being put on the internet, I'm like, the RCMP was saying, we don't do things quite like that. We'll be doing it slightly differently, but what I'm worried about is, okay, most Arabs and most Muslims I know are nice, hardworking people. But I'm figuring the RCMP, when they come to Vancouver for the Olympics, are going to say, you're from a Muslim country? Over here, please. Or you have an Arabic sounding name, even though you could be as American as apple pie or as Canadian as a hockey puck. But they'll just say, over here, please.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
It's a dicey issue because
right. You
should know this from El Al, and
right.
I have a very good friend from high school that lives in Israel, and, you know, they're constantly, hey, they get searched, and because she's an American, he's an Israeli, and then they have two kids, one born in America, one born in Israel,
right.
And that's part of the deal. That's part of the deal, and that's part of why they're safe.
Right.
So I think that you've got to decide,
right.
And I agree with you. There's a point where it's too over the top and it's ridiculous. But
right.
There's also a point where it's common sense. Like what happened on 9/11. I mean, Sam, the guys getting flying lessons and not wanting to land, and then the one-way tickets. I don't know. Somebody should have drawn some conclusions there. I think.
So, yeah, someone should have put waved the red flag or put.
Yes.
Two and two together.
Right, and that's part of the problem. Hey, you stay warm up there in Montreal, Sam.
We're getting a big snowstorm tomorrow. It's up to a foot and a half.
Foot and a half? Get the shovels out. Wow, it seems paltry now when we talk about 5 to 7 inches. All right, coming up on this hour, we still have Cry Me a River. You're going to love this one. Plus, coming up on the flip side, who's zooming who with the stimulus? Two senators sound off. We got it next.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, December 8, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $11.54.20. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $11.85.44, $5.92.72 for a half ounce, or $2.96.36 for the quarter ounce. That's $11.85.44, $5.92.72, or $2.96.36.
On June 4th, 1963, Executive Order 11,110 was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Okay, yeah, Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Stop that. Oh, you're killing me. Oh, okay. They want me to dress up like Santa. My thoughts? What's this gonna prove? They want to remind you about the holiday special. So here it is. Buy a month's supply of Life Change Tea and get 2 extra weeks free. Get some free tea in the holiday spree.
Oh, my goodness.
Lose weight and don't become the size of Santa. Oh, who wrote this? Buy 1 month, get 2 weeks free. That's the best sale of the year. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Come on, new people. 928-308-0408. And all of you that have ordered the tea, thank you for this year. We love you guys.
Yeah, we know. You love us too.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
America Tonight. Flip me an email on anything you find fascinating, or if you have a good recipe for turkey. I'm looking for one. I'm serious, too. AmericaTonight.net, because I am cooking the Christmas turkey. My brother says to fry it, and I said forget about it, because, you know, that oil gets so hot, I just envision some sort of a freak accident. Got to do it the traditional way. Nothing traditional about this whole stimulus situation. You know, we're going to go way back here and tell you that two senators are saying, and it's true, it's certainly the numbers are proving it out, that the amount of waste in the stimulus is ridiculous. You're talking about billions of dollars that have been wasted on what? And what is the job creation? The idea of the stimulus sounded like an okay one when we first heard it, except for the fact that we would go deeper into debt, okay, because that's spending, spending, spending. But okay, desperate times call for desperate measures. For 5 seconds, you sold me on the idea. And then you find out that most of it is sitting, not being used. And supposedly the unemployment, well, not supposedly, it is, in some cases up to 17, even 18%. So where is the money going? Senator John McCain sounded off on it. So did Senator Tom Coburn. Why don't you hear what McCain said? He talked about the lack of supervision when you're spending all this money, the fact that nobody's minding the store. Where's it going? How's it really being spent? Here's McCain.
In February this year, the stimulus bill was passed with insufficient provisions, in my view, for both oversight, cost control, and competition. Whenever you're dealing with these huge amounts of money, it requires the closest kind of supervision. I think it's pretty clear that billions and billions and billions, as much as 50 already, have been spent on projects that don't create jobs. That's really, really bad news for America's taxpayers, especially in my state as well as across America. In my state, real unemployment is 17%. We rank second in homes underwater as far as home loan mortgages being less of value than the mortgage payments and serious economic problems, and we're going to spend money on ants.
Yeah, and he makes reference to a ridiculous project, and there are many more like it. Senator Tom Coburn had his own thoughts on the stimulus, and let's roll those.
There's minimum amount effect on jobs. Unfortunately, many of the projects listed in here, there's no question that we agree with the president that there needed to be a stimulus bill. It's unfortunate that we have still 200,000 bridges in this country that are in disrepair. It's unfortunate that we have highways that are in disrepair. It's unfortunate that we have water lines and sewer lines that are in disrepair. And they got short shrifted in the stimulus. When we run $1.4 trillion deficits, the money we spend ought to be a high priority for the American people as a whole. And as you go through this, you're going to see that it's not necessarily a high priority. It's not necessarily something that's going to create jobs. It's connectedness and benefits that are going to something that's other than a priority. And then it's gone in a way that may not necessarily be efficient. We outlined $7 billion of what we think is waste in this report.
All right, you heard it. $7 billion of waste. That's infuriating, isn't it? And it's government red tape and nobody really keeping tabs, as I said, on what's not happening and what should be happening. Unfortunately, so the objections to the stimulus and the fact that it wasn't stimulating anybody is, I think, rather, they are very well founded. The wheels turn slowly in D.C., so get everybody on board with it, even those of us who are skeptical, and then drop the ball. Thus, you see so many people saying, hey, healthcare, you trust the government, really? You really want a public option? You trust that this is going to be okay? That was thrown out, by the way, the so-called public option, although they're not using that term anymore. That was thrown out, and now it's more about, we'll be the backup plan if everything falls through. And ultimately, we'll see if there is a vote before the holidays. I was pretty sure in everything that I had heard that that would not happen. In fact, the ironic thing is, if we were to roll tape back on America Tonight to about 3.5 weeks ago, the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, was not having any of this. We're going to have a vote, the official vote, on the Senate health care bill. We're not going to have that before the holidays. And he changed his tune quickly after he got a visit from the president. So that's how things roll in Washington, right? Oh, we couldn't possibly get through all the conversations we need to have and all the debate on the floor. You go from that to, yeah, it's looking pretty good. We're striking an agreement. Could happen. Uh-huh. All right, I haven't even touched this, but let's jump there. Copenhagen, here's the deal. We know that this whole climate debate is continuing off the shores, and there's 196 different countries represented who are, some of them say they're on board with some strict regulations about what's being released into the atmosphere, and they're willing to play along. In the meantime, there are others in our country who are saying it's nothing but a bunch of hogwash, because there are scientists disproving some of the facts and figures that have been released. So you have one Republican lawmaker who says he's going to go to the Copenhagen conference to inform world leaders that despite any promises that are made by our president, no new laws are going to be passed in the U.S., until the scientific fascism ends. You know who said that? Sensenbrenner, the Republican from Wisconsin, said that he was going to write to the head of the panel and that he was going to demand that researchers who authored emails and documents that demonstrate the climate change information was manipulated shouldn't be allowed to even participate in the last report written by the UN panel. And I agree with that. Listen, the UN needs to call foul on this because they relied on the scientists. That's why they were there to come up with the information, but they relied on the scientists unjustifiably, as Sensenbrenner says, and he's right. If regardless of the emails being hacked out or whatever, obviously it shows that even some of the people involved, some of the global warming scientists, aren't on board with the numbers that are out there trying to prove the case. And you know how much documents we're talking about here? We're talking about 1,000 emails, 2,000 other documents from this climate research unit in England, and they were released, as you know, weeks ahead of this Copenhagen conference. So, you know, to me, it's manipulated information that whose conclusions have to be thrown out. At least from my point of view, I wouldn't trust it because of what was there in the emails. So supporters want curbs on fossil fuel emissions, and they say that even though the emails are questionable, it doesn't undermine the science. And they look at some of the information from some of the agencies who are totally complicit in this scandal. How can you deny that? I mean, it's not a there's no trick to this. The emails are the emails, period. End of story, you know, bottom line. So another thing that's going to kill the economy is some of these strict regulations that will probably come down the pike as a result of these conferences, et cetera, and, of course, what will ultimately will or won't happen on the Hill. Something that you need to talk to your senators about. Send them an email. Pick up the phone. Tell them you're not on board. And this is on the heels of the EPA issuing a scientific finding on the danger of carbon dioxide. So there's a big fear that there'll be all kinds of pledges made at the conference that will try to get around. He'll try to get around congressional approval. Will that be another disaster? Cry Me a River next on ATN.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Stop that. Oh, you're killing me. Okay, they want me to dress up like Santa. My thoughts? What's this gonna prove? They want to remind you about the holiday special. So here it is. Buy a month's supply of Life Change Tea and get 2 extra weeks free. Get some free tea in the holiday spree.
Oh my goodness.
Lose weight and don't become the size of Santa. Oh, who wrote this? Buy 1 month, get 2 weeks free. That's the best sale of the year. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Come on, new people. 928-308-0408. And all of you that have ordered the tea, thank you for this year. We love you. you guys. Yeah, we know. You love us too.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Hi, this is Steve Shank. Alex and I have talked about food security for your family for years. Now we're into the holiday season, the happy time of year when friends and family come together and food is always the expression of our shared love and caring. Here's an exciting announcement. From now until December 15th, all products that eFoods Direct provides are listed at 10% off the regular price. The holiday season is the time for peace, happiness, and security. What better way to ensure fearless hope for the future of our families than to have as much good food in our homes as possible? This year, in addition to the overall 10% savings, the holiday special is made up of the new prepared meals that taste great. It also comes with a free 7-day responder for you to give to someone less fortunate or as a gift. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633. We here at eFoods Direct wish you peace, security, and plenty this holiday season.
The man who built Blackwater, once a pretty respected deal, and now reviled, certainly, and he and others connected to him, and yeah, maybe some of his guys are throwing him under the bus, but he made serious buku coin for a very long time. In fact, he had to rename the company XE Services because of the uproar over the Iraq ops. And he did work closely with the CIA and the State Department and the U.S. military. But I think he has to be part of the Cry Me a River gang, because I'm not feeling that sorry for him. I'm not feeling the love, dude. He's the 40-year-old heir to a Michigan auto parts fortune. And he did an interview, apparently, for Vanity Fair, where he was whining big time about what happened to him, saying he put himself and his company at the disposal of the government for some risky missions, but when it became politically expedient to do so, someone threw him under the bus. But of course, we've heard other things about Eric Prince too from neutral sources who paint a much different picture. And by the way, Prince announced earlier in the year that he's relinquishing his involvement in the day-to-day business as part of that whole management shakeup thing. And I think that's part of the deal. He got serious juice from being the main man, and suddenly he wasn't the main man anymore and fell on those hard times, not getting the love. Let's go to Mario, who's listening to us in California. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, Eric Prince is a scumbag murderer, so I would never feel bad for anybody like him or his cohorts. But some similar type people are definitely these 196 representatives that have flown into Copenhagen. And, you know, despite the fact that some of their colleagues have seriously been called into question, I don't even think it's been clear as to where the emails have come from. So to just kind of say that they're, you know, hacked is, I think, kind of making an assumption and maybe not one really based on anything except for some media propaganda. But I thought for a sec, well, no, they'll stop it. But, you know, they already had an order for 1,200 limousines in Copenhagen.
That's right.
People. So they weren't going to cancel all their limos. You know, they had the caviar already set up on the table. They weren't going to cancel it over some, you know,
emails.
Over a medieval warming period.
Mm-hmm.
Of course not. And Obama, I mean, it's wild, but is there like a conflict of interest when you are responsible for creating the only company in America that has to do with legal bindings involving the carbon trade that's already being set up? I mean, come on.
Well, that's
Chicago
a
climate.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem, Mario, with the whole thing. Even from Gore down is the conflict of interest across the board on some of these issues going way back when. And obviously you point to a big one. So, you know, here we go. I said this the other night about the limousines, how funny that was. And now what's going to happen is they're going to try to subvert, I guess, the process and push through whatever kind of an agreement they can get with all the people that are there in Copenhagen. It's crazy.
It is, and it's just I'm really concerned if it's just like, you know, Cheney. I mean, how do you trust that they're going to have the better interest for our country when they're making deals that are going to affect their financial status they're out of the office?
Sure, like Halliburton is what you're getting to, I'm sure, with Cheney, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it would seem to me that his almost career culminated in being able to, you know, be at where he was at the time that the military became almost completely privatized. I mean, I think right now they say it's one soldier for every two contractors. Two
right.
Contractors for every one soldier, or you know, it's almost equal. And that's crazy. And so I think that, you know, we really need to, as a country, be a little bit more skeptical about, you know, trusting people when they have just these ties. And I'm not going to try to say that you shouldn't trust anybody, but when they're just so closely involved and when they're willing to manipulate and actually take away from their oath of the Constitution in order to start making those decisions, then we really need to make them accountable.
Absolutely. Excellent caller, Mario. Thank you. You made some great points. You're absolutely right. Holding people's feet to the fire, so to speak, what are their motivations? That's what we're screaming about a lot on America Tonight. That's why I say, man, it's like we need a fresh change in Washington, not just rhetoric and talk and whatever. We need a third party, something different, whatever. Give us something new, something not connected for some reason. And it's, you know, I can give you many examples of that. We had a doctor on the show talking about the H1N1 vaccine and the FDA rubber stamping the approval for the vaccine, not the nasal spray. And then you trace it back to a couple of different politicians who had interests in the companies that were massively producing this, that were standing to make a lot of money as a result of how quickly that that was rubber stamped and how much of it was going to get out there. So, yeah, we have several examples of it. And certainly what's happened in Copenhagen, we see the relationship there, for one. Sad to say. By the way, there are people that are not happy with the climate conference. And usually you would get a fair amount of protesters at some of this stuff anyway, but it looks like there's thousands of people, thousands of groups who are converging on Copenhagen to protest. They're talking about how many people are going to attend this. I guess 20,000 people. Wow. 20,000 people are going to be there, including the dignitary types and some of the movie stars who are part of the global warming movement, you know, the push to flip things around. But there's also a lot of activists that are headed there that are planning on demonstrating, holding up signs and letting their voices be heard. Now, there are 700 events. 700 events are going to run, five or six at a time, nonstop in Copenhagen, 24 hours. Pretty tough schedule. So negotiating this package deal, you got to wonder what's going to come out of this that could be binding. See, that's the problem I have. What's binding? What could make the United States, you know, connected to whatever we're talking about as far as emissions? You've got official events, you got China, India, and the U.S. that are going to try to muscle a couple of smaller countries to jumping on the entire climate change movement. And, you know, you've got, again, oodles of diplomats. And I'll tell you, I hope that nothing solid that's binding comes out of it, but I fear that could happen, even though in our own Senate, when it comes to any climate measure, you know, cap and trade went through the House but did not go through the Senate. We do not have that law on the books. It sailed through the House, but not the Senate. Hasn't even been taken up by the Senate at this point. There are thoughts that it could have been discussed in the fall, but of course, healthcare reform was front and center. So it didn't happen. There's no law. That was part of the problem for Obama. And I mentioned this in our last show. Heading to Copenhagen, he needed something, and the EPA gave it to him with what they came out with the other day. So he could use that, certainly, as a thread to hang on to, because there could be questions as to, okay, you're pushing us with the CO2 emissions, but what about your own country? What kind of laws do you have on the books about it? And the answer is none. We don't have that at this point because it didn't happen in the Senate. Did not happen. All right, quickly on a sad note, the four police officers who were gunned down in cold blood. It was a tough day for the people just outside of Seattle who said goodbye to colleagues that had no idea when they went to work, were at a coffee shop, that it was going to be their last day on Earth because somebody targeted them and shot them, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Ultimately, the justice, I guess, is the fact that he is no longer roaming the Earth either. But you had 20,000 people, most of them law enforcement types from all over Washington State and even across the country, that honored the four slain cops. Good for them that so many people were there to recognize that. Stay with us. More odds and ends.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Do you want to get away from additives and preservatives in your food? Need alternatives to conventional food preparation? Do you want to save the fruits of your gardening labor? And are you looking for an excellent gift idea? Then check out the Excalibur Dehydrator. Dehydration is one of the healthiest, most cost-effective, and fun ways to feed yourself and your family. Make healthy snacks like fruit roll-ups and beef jerky. Store healthy food in case of an emergency with no added salts, fats, or preservatives. And save hundreds of dollars by drying it yourself with the Excalibur Dehydrator. The Excalibur Dehydrator comes with an industry-leading exclusive 10-year warranty. And when you order, you'll receive a free book filled with amazing, easy recipes, a $25 value free for a limited time. Just mention coupon code GCN. Learn more and order your Excalibur Dehydrator today at drying123.com. That's drying123.com. Drying123.com. Or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254. Season's greetings and health and wellness from Excalibur Dehydrator.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Qualify for blunder. What were these people thinking? I happen to catch this story out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Cops are charging a North Carolina woman for selling, here's an old word, moonshine out of her daycare center. It's true. There were children in the daycare when they sent an undercover agent in to buy 2 gallons of the stuff. So the woman told the newspaper in the area she was set up by a neighbor. She was holding a package for a man in exchange for $80 and didn't know what was in it. Likely story. I'd have 2 gallons of moonshine. Well, I'm not sure what's in this, but I'll take your $80. They also arrested an 82-year-old man. That woman was like 58 years old. An 82-year-old guy and charged him with making the stuff. And they actually found 80 gallons of moonshine there with the guy. So go to daycare and get your booze, your moonshine while you're at it. Wow. What were they thinking? I have no idea. Please. All right, here's our daily salute. It's about time we get some applause going on this show. We need a silver lining, right, by the likes of something that we've been, most of the stuff, rather, that we've been talking about here tonight on ATN. But I think this is interesting. The pilot, Captain Sullenberger, Sully, who guided that jet to the emergency landing in the Hudson River, is offering his pilot's hat for auction to raise money for 2 California schools. I think that's cool. So it's on eBay, and the high bidder will get the dark blue hat and a personally written note from Sully and his wife. The money goes to Daugherty Valley High in San Ramon, where the pilot's daughters go to school, and another school, Lockwood Elementary, which is in East Oakland. And they started the bidding Tuesday afternoon. The highest bid surpassed $4,100. The bidding is set to run until December 14th. He wasn't actually wearing the hat when he landed, of course. The U.S. Airways jet in the river back in January. All 155 people, as we know, escaped safely. Do you know it's the only successful water landing in U.S. history where everybody gets off board like that? You know, when you get on the planes and the stewardess tells you about that, an event of a water landing, and I don't know, I just didn't really think about it, and then did a little quick research, and it turns out there's never really been another successful water landing. Matt, I'm sure that makes you feel good to realize that you were on the plane, you just heard all the instructions. How about that? There was never another successful water landing.
Yeah, and all those times they tell you about the safety raft,
yes,
going out the,
yes,
the side door and using your seat cushion as a floating device. And this is the first one ever.
First one ever. Hey, at least, you know, those people, they were informed just in case. But that would be kind of creepy to figure out. You know, I could just remember I was away when it happened. And I was in Hawaii. And I remember waking up and turning on the tube and saying, oh, man, I can't believe it. A plane landed in the Hudson. And then when you see that video, oh, that's scary stuff. And now, because of the geese, the Canadian geese that got in the engines, that's a big problem that's happening all over the place as to what to do when they come back and other planes have had trouble with that.
Yeah, you think they'd figure out a way to somehow guard the turbines from sucking them in or something would happen, but I don't know. I didn't get into engineering for a reason.
Same thing with me. But you have a sister that's an engineer, so you could ask her. Maybe she knows somebody that can answer that riddle.
I got a couple in the family, but I didn't want to go down that math.
Boy, I'm right there with you. You know, and plus there's a certain personality, I think, with engineers. I don't know, the female engineers might be a little bit different from the male engineers. But there is definitely a certain personality connected, let's just say, that I've observed. I have lots of friends that are engineers, different kinds of engineers. All right, you know, we're talking about Sully's hat and what that's going to fetch. I mean, who knows, maybe up to $50,000 by the time they're done. But already well over $4,100 anyway. Imagine paying $37,000 at a Paris auction. That was my British voice. I can't do a French imitation. 1788 cognac. That's what it fetched. I guess this bottle, well, think of it. 1788. The bottle predated the French Revolution by a year. And imagine that. Now, the money there goes to charity, too, which is a good thing, right, in the spirit of helping other people. So this restaurant cleaned out its cellar, and it put up a whole bunch of, it's a famous Paris restaurant, and they put up 18,000 bottles up for auction. They had a two-day sale. It ended today, but it brought in $2.2 million. So wine people from China to Russia to the U.S. bid at a chance at a bunch of different treasures. If you think of 1788, so that means Marie Antoinette was still living at the palace in Versailles, and it would still be probably, 5 years before they cut her head off. And wines don't hold up well with the years as they go on, but cognac and the reds and whites on sale that were younger got the best prices, apparently. So they had, like, I don't want to go too deep into this nonsense, but they had 12 half bottles of Chateau Haute-Brion, and that went for $8,900. Boy, there are some rich people in the world that can spare that kind of money on some old wine. I think the 37,000 bottle is very cool, though. And what's neat is that the money's raised goes toward a French charity to grant the wishes of kids that are sick, kids that are basically dying, all like mostly like our Make-A-Wish thing. So that's good, because that means that these kids will have some of their dreams come true. I think Make-A-Wish is such a good program, but it's always sad to think about, you know, somebody in the program, they have this dying wish, And like I said, I think it's brilliant that they created it, but it's got to be tough when you work from some of the stories that you hear. Anyway, that was our daily dose of odds and ends. And then we'll throw in this one for good measure. You know, they do the whole census thing and how many people are living where and what's the shift of the population been. And, of course, it's important because you got congressional seats that hang in the balance. And then the flow of illegal immigrants is a factor, and legal immigrants. So let's call the legal ones. They're boosting some of the population in some of the major metropolitan areas, rather like Chicago, Miami, New York, L.A. And there you've got a big census thing happening, the 2010 census. So when you look at those cities and you look at population losses from Americans who have moved to other parts of the U.S. for jobs and affordable housing and all that sort of stuff, it's going to change some areas. I would bet that Illinois would have some problems because they've got such a housing crunch and it's more expensive there, and et cetera. California, I would be curious about California, too. Maybe more people are stuck, so they're staying put because they can't sell their house, and probably New York, too. But if you look at those cities, they're trying to stop a loss of at least a House seat. Florida might be able to add one or two seats to their delegation, which, too, would be big, depending on how much the mortgage foreclosures erased some of those population gains, because they've taken it on the chin, too, in the housing sector. And they did an analysis, the Brookings Institute did, and they have found that immigration is buoying many of the larger cities, in fact, changing the face of it, but would change the census. So Chicago, Washington, Miami, hurt by overbuilding and foreclosures, but they try to reverse the trends and posted increases in immigrants, and so that offsets some of the other losses. But that's a big deal. That's why the census is so important and could affect many of you where we're broadcasting to. With the shift of population, you might get different representation. They launched the headcount, by the way, officially next month in Alaska because of the weather there in the spring. And they conduct the count for the rest of the nation through mail and door-to-door canvassing starting next April. I don't even know if I've ever been part of, I haven't been part of a census that I can remember. Maybe I think I filled it out once. All right, you can send me your thoughts through snailmail, americatonight.net.